want to save on the most popular PodNuts products, go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 336, the show for computer repair technicians by computer repair technicians. And when I say that, what I mean is we have on the show every week a different tech, sometimes the same tech if they want to come back, and they talk about different things they're doing in their shops and their business and their life that might assist you guys who are also in the computer repair business. It's a lot of fun. It's informative. We've been going for a while now. It's a good time, and hopefully you get something out of the show. Joining us this week is Patrick Palmer from thecomputerguide.bz. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, we're just enjoying our nice Iowa weather. It's more like weather for a Friday night football game than it is for middle of winter.
Nice. How is it usually? Is it freezing up there usually?
Usually about 3 feet of snow, and my driveway is usually plugged by now, and I've had to have a couple of farmers come in and plow me out. But there's no snow on the ground. It's just a nice fall day, as you might think it would be in fall.
Nice. Now, did you have snow at all this winter?
Just a little bit. About a month ago, I suppose we had maybe 2 or 3 inches, and that melted away. And I drove by the bank today and saw that the bank sign's 44 degrees. So it's been a nice day.
Nice. Good for you, man. I'm in Florida, so this is my second year down here. I'm getting used to the weather down here, and I don't think I'm going to be seeing snow for a while. But
wow.
That's just me. But I moved from Philly, so I know how it is.
Ah, you betcha.
So tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
You bet. I've been in business since about 1996. I've got the name The Computer Guy. I was didn't really have a name and just kind of doing computer repair. And I was over to somebody's house one day, and I knocked on the door. And a little girl says, "Mom, the computer guy is here." And so that name just kind of stuck. So that's kind of how I became The Computer Guy. I was actually... at the time, I worked in radio for 17 years, and during that time, I was doing computer repair. And we at the radio station, we were a partner for an internet provider, a dial-up internet provider, and people were having problems or questions, and so I was going to their homes a lot of times around 1996 through about 1998, 2000, and helping them install their internet software. And so that's kind of how that got started and this and that. I left the radio biz and went to work at a cell phone store. And I was a salesman there at a cell phone store for about 6 years and knew that this is something I wanted to do. And one day push come to shove, and I said, well, I think I'll just leave. And so I did this on my own in 2006 to 2009 in my basement, remodeled my basement. And then 2009, I became so busy I was actually losing customers because of it. And so I moved to my downtown location, hired another full-time employee and then a part-time employee. And so we're cooking on all burners down here. We're 2.5 men now. So
two and a half men. How's that?
2.5 men. Yeah. We got two full-time guys and a part-time guy.
That's great. That's a good name for a business, actually, now that it's gained popularity. No, but, tell us how you got so busy that you had to start turning away customers. Like, what were you doing that was that you think was the main thing that you were getting, expanding your business with?
Well, I kind of always I knew that just because I learned this at the radio station, and this may be a tip for other techs, is just because the radio station is licensed to town X doesn't mean they can't hear you in town Y. You know, so I knew that. Just because you could hear the radio station in Hampton, if you went 45 miles out, you could still hear the radio station. So that didn't mean that you just shut your service off. If you were broadcasting a football game that featured two area towns that were 20 miles apart, you could still hear the football game in this other town. So I learned from that just because you service one area doesn't mean you can't go to another town and pick up more business. So I was servicing a 45 mile radius of Hampton with free pickup and delivery. And once word gets out that you're reliable and you're priced competitively and you treat the customer right, you'll have some business. And that's what happened.
I see. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. And then I was doing some contract work for Syntex back when they were doing a lot of the Dell repairs, and I kind of got started on that. And, you know, I also believe in something like what I call backhaul. So if I drove for a Dell job 40 miles, I would do the Dell job in this town, and then on the way back, I'd hit every coffee shop or every gas station or bulletin board between that town and my town, and, you know, got the word out, put the business cards in the bulletin board, and sometimes if there was coffee club there in the afternoon. Most small towns have like a coffee clatch or something like that. Usually have one at 10 in the morning, and usually have one at about 3 in the afternoon. And, you know, you buy a round of coffee for $5 for a bunch of people, you've got some customers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really smart.
These older people, I don't want to just come down on older people. I'm not about that. But sometimes techs talk over their heads. And all you need to do is slow down, put the words in something they can understand, and you'll get their business too. And once you get a couple of older folks, you know, in the 65 to 70 year old range, they network themselves. It might be just coffee clutch, you know, before Facebook and this, between genealogy products and or projects and emailing back and forth, they'll have a network built up of quite a big network of maybe senior citizens.
Right.
And if all it's going to take is a $5 round of coffee, you can't get in out of a bar by buying a round of drinks for anybody for $5.
No.
So that's one thing I just started to do is, you know, drive through a small town. If you see a lot of cars parked at the cafe, you stop in, you put your business card on the bulletin board, make some small talk with people. Like I said, I was in radio for 17 years. I've learned a lot about small talk. And so get to know these people.
Now, how did you know what places to go to do this? You just picked some cafes around town?
Yeah. Like I said, on the way back from whatever job I had the farthest of the day, I would stop through these small towns. It was sometimes the gas stations. You know, you see a bunch of pickups in front of the gas station at 3 in the afternoon. At sometimes are some farmers, you know, shooting the bull in there. You go to the small town cafe or, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have Hardee's down there. Do you have Hardee's down there?
Yeah.
Okay. At Hardee's twice a day, 10 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. That's when the retired folk come out and they share their news. Some folks would call it gossip. Others call it the gospel. And that's where you just chime in the conversation. I mean, it's just like it's their version of Twitter. They're just chiming into the conversation.
Now, how do you do that? How do you chime into the conversation? Can you give us an example? So, because I know a lot of people who are listening right now, a lot of geeks are going, I'm not going to just join in a stranger's conversation. They get nervous. They don't have the radio experience. What are some pointers to start a conversation with these guys?
The weather. hey, can you believe this weather? You know, you get one person that strays away from the group. You know, they go up and get a refill of coffee or a Pepsi or something, or just, you know, walk over the table. Hey, I don't know how many of you folks have computers here, but I do computer repair in this area. And there's no fee for me to come out and look at it. It's a 45-mile radius free. If I pick it up, we'll have fast delivery and hand out cards. How many people here have the internet? You know, there's always some topic that you can chime in on, even if you're sitting at the next booth. At least I do.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. That sounds good. That's really cool. I don't think that's something we really talked about too much yet. Is just walking into cafes, like you said, it snowballs, right? You get a couple customers, and then they just spread the word out to their network. So you got to be good, them to spread the word of mouth. And
I mean, yeah, it's just and sooner or later, something will rotate around. Well, my grandson, da 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 da, and then you can, you know, chime in on that too, or. God, there's just a lot of ways. It's easier to walk up to a table full of older senior citizens than it is to walk up to a table of 5 cute girls.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. That's pretty cool.
one of those things. I always had good luck with that.
That's a great tip.
If all else fails, talk to the manager. Sit across the room or sit somewhere in their area and talk to the manager and say, hey, today my coffee's on me. Here's $10 and a stack of business cards. Sometimes, a lot of times, they'll take care of that for you.
Really?
Yep.
Now,
and it's this is a small town. This isn't going to work in Tampa. I mean, this isn't going to work, you know, but this is small Midwest-ish type of activity that we can do.
No, it's good. I actually had somebody write into the show the other day and say, you guys all live in big cities, and this a lot of what you talk about doesn't apply to me. It's different here. The prices are different. People are different. And he's talking about small town techs, and it's just great information. I mean, if he's listening, then I'm sure he's going like, yes, finally, some advice for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I live in a town of 4,500.
Really?
And, you know, my customer base is in a 5-mile radius, so I really never... You know, once, you know, people out of, you know, people 10 miles or 20 miles or 40 miles out of town still have computers. I'm not just going to draw the line in the sand and say, yep, that's it. And if they're farther than 45 miles, you know, then there's maybe a pricing adjustment or something like that that we just need to make. And away we go.
Wow. That's really cool. Now, how about your business cards? Do you have any recommendations of where to get them and what put on them?
Yeah, I just have, Vista Print do them, and okay. That's probably a sin, but remember there's a back of the card too, and so let me get one real quick. Well, we'll get one here in a little bit, but anyway, front side just is my information, and then the back side is my logo, or my tagline. It says, the computer guy, your computer's best friend.
Nice. No, I mean, I don't think VistaPrint is a sin. I used to use them, and I actually, the products I got from them were great until one day I ordered something and never shipped it. And so, I mean, I did get my money back, but then after that point, I'm like, it's not reliable, but I feel like I'm the odd one on that because everybody else is happy with those guys. So
what I have is 4 different business cards, and they can save the same style. If you go from business card place to business card place to business card place, then you're always going to end up with a different looking business card. And I just always was just consistent. And so what I've done is I've got my main card for my shop, cell phone number, store number, and fax number, website, whatever. But then what I've also done is expanded into 2 area towns that are just right on this 45-mile cusp, you might say, of my area. And so what I did was I bought a cell phone number for those towns. And so now I've got what looks like to me is 3 locations, plus my personal cell phone number is a number from the bigger town that's north of us. And then my Google voice number is a bigger town in Des Moines, our state capital. So it really looks like I've got 5 locations when you go to my website.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Let me go check it out. It's thecomputerguy.bz. Let me go there now. I should have pulled that up earlier. Yeah,
if you put that up on the screen, I'll get a business card real quick.
Okay. There we go. All right. It looks good. I like the storefront. I'll talk to you guys while he's getting his business card. Nice. He's got his phone number right there prominently in the window. He's got his logo right there. A big flashing open sign. I like it. It's a good site. It's got all the phone numbers, all the cities he services. And the way he's got it on the site, it looks like he covers 6 different cities or 5 different cities and a fax line. So it's a great site, and I like the fact that you have all those phone numbers on there. It does look like you have 5 different locations. And the way you put, we could talk about this a little bit too, the way you have your shop set up as far as what you put on your windows is really good. You have your logo, you have your phone number and big numbers, your open sign is big and bright, and then you have all the things that you do. What's that little first aid sign up at the top?
That's a free... It's a free...
free computer inspection and tune-up.
Computer inspection and tune-up, yeah. And then there's below that on the bottom, it's a free Wi-Fi zone. People come in, a lot of people come in and do their schoolwork or just shoot the bull and use the internet for nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Have you ever had any problems with that, or is it pretty smooth?
Oh yeah, I've had problem with it. We need to change the password a little bit more frequently. And somebody downloaded a movie illegally one day, and that didn't go over very well. I got my hand slapped by Mediacom, and so anyway, kind of got to watch that. But
really, your cable provider, is that who Mediacom is? Cable provider? Yeah. They knew that someone downloaded one movie.
Yeah, it was Avatar.
Wow, man.
Yeah. So I got a warning letter, and I had to call in and say, never going to happen again. And
gotcha. Oh. That sucks. But I mean, how is it as far as bringing in business and people?
The storefront or the free internet?
The internet. I mean, I think it's a good thing to have just to draw some attention.
What I would really like is, and I've talked to a lot of people that run these coffee shops, because that's a big deal. I wanted to get a coffee vending machine here, which would have three or four kinds of coffee and hot cocoa, and I could never get the vending machine company to ever bring me a vending machine. I would like to have that so people could, on coffee breaks around downtown or like at 9:45 to 10:15, they could stop in. I'd like to really kind of get like the Hardee's group in here, the coffee clutch, to have a little bit of give and take in here too, but I haven't really found that niche yet. So
then why won't they bring the machine out to you?
I never figured out. I said, don't people want to do business?
It's weird, man.
Yeah. Here's my card. I'll hold it steady there.
Nice.
And then on the back, if you did something different, you put a QR code on there, with your website or your, a video for your QR code or something that really, sets you apart from everybody else.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you got a lot of space in the back there, but I like how you keep it simple. I mean, you want certain things to stand out in the business card, and you have all the main things there. It's nice. And mm-hmm. I like your logo too.
So what we do is, I've got several income streams that we work with. I always told my employee that when I'm in the store, we're not making money that day because I'm the outside guy. He's the inside guy. So I do all the remote or the calls on the outside, traveling around. We also do remote repair is big for us. We do a lot of that, both in shop and like at home at night after 7 o'clock tonight. That's all I'll do till probably midnight is remote repair calls.
Wow, really?
Then we also have a pretty big affiliate network on our webpage. I'm getting a new webpage after the first of the year, so it should offer a lot more services, a lot more interaction, more customer focused.
What do you mean affiliate?
Oh, let's say if you go back to my website and you click on products.
Okay. All right.
And all those.
Oh, I see.
Steer people there, and that's good for $100 a month.
Yeah, good. That's all Commission Junction.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. If anybody hasn't signed up for like Commission Junction, CJ.com. Basically, all these companies are willing to pay you to sell their stuff. And we're talking like Newegg, companies like that. And
my biggest thing is a motto I learned a long time ago from a dog food salesman was eat your own dog food. If you order stuff for yourself, order it through your affiliate.
Yes.
Eat your own dog food. But we do that. And then, of course, I still do a lot with a contract work. I don't do the Syntex thing anymore. I dump them. And then, but I do the OnForce and Field Nation, Work Market, Nexicor, Gurus to Go. I think I'm pretty much at my end of my rope with Barrister and a few of those folks. But right now, I've found that through Nexicor, I do a lot of TV work besides the computer work for TV repair companies. And I think I must be the only trained tech in Iowa to do all the new Toshibas that are coming out.
Really?
Yeah. So we're making some good money on those. And the new Toshibas, if you bought a Black Friday Toshiba, that's the 65 inch screen. There's a 95% failure rate.
What?
And you can't return them to the store.
You're kidding me.
No, because it's a Black Friday deal.
That is insane. Now, how did you find that out? And how do people know to call you for that?
They really don't, I guess you might say. It's just through the contract, what I call contract work, or through third party work.
Oh, they're contacting you.
It's all warranty repair. So I've had to replace a few screens, the 65-inch screens, so far this year.
Really? Where do you get them? Where do you order them from?
It's a warranty thing, so they just ship right to my store.
Is that a pain to replace them?
It takes a little bit, but the money's good. When you're the only one in the state that does it, I mean, I think I've got a 100-mile radius on that, and they're paying good on that.
And they're driving to you?
No, I'm driving to them.
Well, they must be paying good on that.
Yeah.
Drive 100 miles to install a 65-inch screen.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Up to, I mean, most of them have been about 50 miles away. But
Yeah.
Then I do have a van that I've got all lettered up. We use that for parades in the summer. And that we had a contest this last year my own Frisbee. So what I did with the Frisbees this last year was I had 100 of them. And this was for the big parade in our community. I do probably 15 parades. With all these little towns that are all around my community. What I did was on the back, I wrote a number from 00 to 99 and threw those out. And then one Frisbee that we drew a number had, they had to bring the Frisbee back in the store. And then that we had a grid. And if you had Frisbee number 42, that was a free flash drive. If you had Frisbee number 65, that was something. If you had Frisbee number 45, that was a $100 bill. And so, That's nothing like bringing customers right in the store right there. And, you know, you even just let them keep the Frisbee.
Where do you get the Frisbees printed?
Across the street from me is a company called Got You Covered. And they do all my promotional stuff. They do my my cups as well. They do my pens. They do my T-shirts. And anything that I can think of, they'll do for me.
Nice. How much is a Frisbee?
I think that Frisbees might have been 85 cents.
Wow. Like that. That's a great deal.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
They'll want you to, and if anybody has any questions, you'll probably put my email address up, or I see my website up, so they can always email me right through that.
Yeah. I think you are going to be getting some emails after this show because a lot of stuff you're going through, people are like, I want to know more about that. I'm sure. Yeah. So you just throw these Frisbees out the van as you're driving down through the parade.
Had parade was probably 3 miles long, I suppose, and timed it out. So the last Frisbee went out right at the end of the parade, and then we just had them jumbled up in a box. So like the first people didn't get Frisbees 1 through 10. It was just first people might have gotten Frisbee number 42 or something.
But, I gotcha. That's really cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah. It brings them, you know, I rounded up the sponsors, so I got all their prizes. And they had to come in my store first with a Frisbee to redeem it. And then sometimes I would give them a certificate that they would have to go to their store and then redeem what the prize was there, too.
So, I see.
That's so it really was a popular idea. And a lot of people, after I did it the first year, said, okay, now next year we want on the Frisbee game. So
really?
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, Dan, your friend Dan here is in the chat room, and he asked me to ask you about the time you hit the kid in the head with the Frisbee and dropped him.
Yeah.
That really happened?
My wife's not the best shot on Frisbees. I'm pretty handy with it. But my wife says, well, I've never really thrown Frisbees out of a moving van before. And I said, it's easy, just aim for their feet. And so anyway, the first Frisbee out of her hand hit some old lady in the head. Drove pretty fast around the block and onto the next block after that.
The dangers of parades.
Yeah, it was. And of course, yeah. And then a lot of times with every parade I did this year on my Droid phone, I've got Social Cam installed. And so anyway, we had Social Cam. And of course, I'm getting a phone call right now. I did a preview of every parade that we did this summer. So, and that got posted to my Facebook page. And so everybody could see that I was doing a parade, and it just created some excitement that the computer guy was in town. And anytime, you know, I always said the only bad publicity out there is an obituary. And so if you can make the news, sometimes you have to invent your own news, and sometimes you have to just do your own videos, and because nobody else is going to toot your horn except for you, and that's what I believe in.
I gotcha.
So we did videos on being in these little bitty towns. I mean, a town of 1,800, you know, and they're just tickled to death to get a Frisbee or a cup or something or waved at, and it's pretty neat.
And so what did you do with the videos?
I just post them right online, right on my Facebook page, right from the social cam. So
neat.
That's how that worked. So
do you need to get that phone?
Nah, I'm just going to turn it off.
All right. Let me see where your Facebook is. I saw it. Here we go. That's a really good idea. Yeah. You even have an ad on your Facebook page, too.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of those.
Yeah, it looks great. Facebook page has an ad up on it, and looks nice.
Yeah. If you go to my either my personal one or my, you know, I kind of, you know, both the personal one and the computer guy one, if you can bring one up on the screen. Yeah, see, okay. What this does is the landing page shows what services we offer. And so you can also manipulate Facebook then if I bought an ad just for the folks that are in the what I would call the Waverly, Iowa area. If you scroll up a little bit, you'll see over on the side underneath the banner. Next, on the left-hand side of the screen underneath I can't really see it that well. The screen's kind of grainy, but...
yeah, it's an SVGA signal you're getting.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Waverly. Click that thing that says Waverly. So if I bought an ad that said... For all the Waverly folks, hey, I'm now in Waverly.
Nice.
And so I've got one that's all ready to go for this other town that I've just expanded to as well. And there's my Waverly phone number, which is different from my my own phone number. But I've got five phone numbers. They all ring to the same phone.
Right.
So
it's good, man. It's smart.
So I went with the local cell phone, the cell phone company. If I didn't have the local cell phone company providing that service, I bought the competitor's cell phone number and then waited a month and just ported it over to my Verizon and then made that my phone.
What? How did you get his phone number?
Well, no, I bought a phone number in another town.
Yeah.
From not a competitor, I shouldn't say, a different company that I wasn't a member of, like U.S. Cellular, United States Cellular.
Okay.
And so I bought their phone number, and then what I did was, waited a month, then ported it to my carrier's, to my carrier. And so all the additional line cost me is $9.99 a month.
I see what you're saying. I see.
So if you look at my main page again on my computer guide.bz page, you're going to see that, I've got all those phone numbers there, and the main one cost me, I don't know, $50 a month, and the other phones after that just cost $9.99. So, the Mason City, Clarion, Waverly, Des Moines, a free line,
and they're all cell phone numbers then, and
except the main 1936 number.
I see.
And then that call me button, you can hit that call me button, and put in your phone number and your name, and then hit it, and then that's a toll free call right to me. Cost you no minutes, and a lot of college kids use that to call me if they don't have a cell phone. They can use that from a payphone, or they can use that, you know, from wherever.
Wow, it's awesome.
Through Google Voice.
Nice.
See, I used to work for a cell phone company, so I know how to manipulate all this.
Well, why don't you just get like five Google Voice numbers?
The Des Moines number is the smallest. Smallest one I could get.
I see.
So it's just,
hey, maybe so. I'll call this number so I can make your phone ring even more.
Yeah, how about that? But it's you know, different ways to get the customers, because you want to appear local to them. They don't want to have to go, you know, 40 miles away or 50 miles away for computer repair. That's, you know, you want to be able to have them trust you.
Right. No, I think it's a great idea. It like increases the reality between you and the customer.
Right. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It's cool. Yep. Awesome. This is great stuff so far.
So anyway, yeah, we, like I said, we do the income streams is the affiliates, and then, and I'm the outside guy. We have the store here, do the remote repair.
Why do you do the outside work? You like it? You rather do on site?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I really only do homes. I do some businesses. That's just not my forte. Right. I just love the connection between, you know, me and the home customer.
Gotcha.
How handy is it for me to say, hey, wait, you know, I'll just come over and I'll unhook the cords for you.
Right.
I'll set it up for you.
Right.
And sometimes if they pick the computer up and they take it home, they hook it up wrong, you're going to have to go out there anyway or call, or they're going to talk to you on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a happy experience if it's not done right.
More often than not, that will probably happen. Yes. Yeah, I when I got my shop, I never wanted to do on-site anymore. I liked being in the shop. I felt like I had more control. But I didn't have like a full-time person necessarily there at my shop that, I don't know. So what do you, so you just like getting out and doing it? That's what you prefer?
I always said, if I eat lunch in my hometown on the noon hour, I'm pretty upset. Because that means I'm not making any money that day.
Really? Gotcha.
I need to be out on the road.
Cool. All right, we got about 10, 15 minutes more. If you have, what else you want to hit us up with? Anything you want?
Just general repair things. Right now, we're looking at a lot of bad hard drives, it seems like. Some zero access rootkit's been hitting us pretty hard. This is the general things right now. We're seeing a shift more to laptops than desktops.
Yeah.
We also have in our store a classroom where we have the Digital Divas on Wednesday night. They come in and do their photo editing thing.
The Digital Divas. What is that?
It's a group of six or seven gals that come in, and they all use Creative Memories software that they buy in their little group. And then they do calendars, and they do coffee mugs, and they do scrapbooks, and it's digital scrapbooking is what it is.
Yeah.
We call them the Digital Divas, and make kind of a big deal out of that. So at night when we're closed, you know, we open it up to groups if they want to have a group thing as far as classes. We have a 47-inch TV that we have hooked to what we call a media center computer, or they could hook that to their laptop if they've got a class to teach. And so we just let them have at it. It's $10 an hour, and they can go as long as they want.
Wow. How do you promote that? How did you get that started?
I've got a big storefront area in the front, and I got six-foot tables kind of in a half circle or half square, and it's all around the big screen TV. And I just thought, you know, people are always asking me, Pat, are you going to have classes? And so we do have classes now and then for folks. We're going to be doing one on the 5th of January. It's called Solving the Mystery of the Facebook Timeline. Because a lot of people on Facebook are really confused by this new timeline thing that's coming out. And we just want to, I've had it for probably 3 months. And I just want to show people how to work with it, how it can work for them, and how it's kind of a neat thing.
It's free class?
Free class. I have one at 12:30 in the afternoon and one at 5:30 in the evening.
Nice.
So really a lot of people have already signed up. Yeah.
Really cool.
Do a lot of Facebook stuff. Yeah, we've got probably almost 1,800 fans personally, and then about 1,250 from the Computer Guy fan page.
Wow, that's almost that's like a big part of your town.
Yeah. Well, and it's that radius.
That's awesome.
I had somebody the other day where my wife and I walked into a new restaurant in town in a little bitty town east of here. And they said, well, what are you doing with your cell phone? I said, I'm checking in. Well, what are you checking in for? Well, to let my Facebook fans know that I'm eating here. Well, so what? I said, so what? I said, I'm doing this and letting my 1,800 Facebook fans know I'm here. As that tells me that's like having me walk in a place, and if it's good, I give a thumbs up to 1,800 people sitting in the parking lot. I said, those are your potential customers. I said, my wife here, she hates all of my friends, and I hate all of her friends. She's got another 1,000 friends. So it's like 1,800 people waiting out in the parking lot to see if this place is worth a damn.
What did he say?
Oh, okay. So next thing you know, I got them on Foursquare and I got them on their social networking way. And so they're doing some stuff with social networking, putting their menus online and getting some stuff fired up with their business as well.
Oh man, good stuff. You're like you're really doing it right. It's like walking PR, you know, like wherever you go, whatever you're doing, it's just good PR for you and your business. And it's, it sounds like you're doing it right.
Yeah, I speak a lot to a lot of groups, several statewide conferences we've had on social networking. I did this one called the 140 Character Conference. That was in our state capital here about a year ago. And a lot of people listen to that. You know, I kind of, my theme is, my wife said that won't work. And I remember when I first got started, I had my own MySpace page for the computer guy. And my wife said, that'll never work. Why would that ever work? I said, well, come to think of it, you know, most people who have MySpace have a computer. And so after that, I was making some good money on that. And thank God Facebook came along and my wife's, I'm not into Twitter at all, really. I've got a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. My wife's the tweaker. I mean, the Twitter person.
Right.
And so she does a lot with Twitter. I don't as much. And then, of course, LinkedIn and some of the other ones, too. Google Plus is starting to take off, so we're going to do more on that. I've got my own YouTube channel, plus the Social Cam channel, which promotes a lot of the parades that we do. And a lot of people just want to hear more about you. So update statuses two or three times a day on what we're doing in the shop, what we're doing on the road. You know, somebody's, and you know, my wife says, why do you put where you're at every day? Well, if I put the towns I'm in, somebody may say, hey, if you're going to be in town, stop by.
Right.
So it's a no brainer.
Yeah. What else do you do on Facebook? Cause we've talked a little bit about Facebook, but nobody's ever really, I think, mastered it for their business.
Oh yeah. That's where I get my remote repairs at night. I'll even put my remote repair link up there, and I'll have two or three a night that I'll do until probably midnight or 1 o'clock.
Now, your remote, you say you get them through Facebook. Are these even, these are local people that are getting your remote repairs, or are these, how do you promote your remote repairs?
On the Facebook page, I can, in my link or my thing, paste the link of my, my session ID, and they click it, and I can get right to their computer.
I mean, but how do they know? I mean, how do you get, when I say promote, like what kind of advertising, or how do you let people know that you're actually doing the remote, you're doing remote repairs?
With 1,800 personal fans and 1,200 Facebook fans, it just happens.
I see.
I can put that out. Hey, tonight from 7 until 11:30, I'll be doing remote repairs. Click the button. First 10 minutes are free. And we go from there.
Nice. All right. Well, that leads me to this question. How did you get so many Facebook followers? How did you get that promoted?
In my life, I've done various things. So for 17 years, I was in radio. And so I've got a bunch of radio station fans that still remember me back, three different communities in radio. And so then after that, I worked in a cell phone company. And so I've got a bunch of, you know, our corporate office. It was a small enough company where you kind of felt like a family. So a trip to the corporate office, everybody knows you. Hey, how you doing? At the company Christmas party together, 500 people at company Christmas party. And so I've still got relationships from there. And so that's another 300 friends. They've got friends. Then just doing the computer guy thing. And I'm a member of three different chambers of commerce. So each chamber of commerce seems to promote a little bit more with the Facebook there too.
I see.
And so it just kind of adds up after a while.
I see. Very cool.
And, you know, if you get your computer fixed remotely by me and you share my link on your page, then you've got more people there, too.
Nice.
So it's a snowball thing. Snowball effect.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good information.
But, yeah, so we have Facebook classes. And we've had word processing classes and the photo editing classes. The Digital Divas take care of that once in a while for me as far as special need things.
Right.
But yeah, that's just kind of rolls all into one, and we're kind of all inclusive there, and we're just your computer's best friend.
That's good, really good, man. I really like how you're doing stuff here.
Nice. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. If I just said today I'm just going to be running a repair shop here in my store. Is this going to be like McDonald's? You come to me, I wait on you. May I take your order, please? Then there's so much that falls through the cracks. And so that's what I see my competitors doing around North Iowa, is if they're just in their homes, they've got a second job, they can't get out to these people, or they're just in their shops and not taking care of anybody else outside. You know, the coolest thing is when I'm three blocks away from a competitor's store and I'm doing the work on their computer, right, knowing full well they just couldn't take the time to come out and get the computer.
Right.
So, and then, you know, I keep track of my competitors very closely.
How
as
so?
Far as how many there are in an area. So I'm constantly researching on how many competitors I have. So in this, let's say I have this 50-mile radius of where I live, you know, I've tracked 75 competitors. Now, some may be shade tree mechanic repair, computer repair people, or, you know, the Craigslist computer repair people. And some people say, well, you don't really count those. Well, anybody who takes a dollar out of my pocket is my competitor.
Now, you track them closely, and then what do you do about that with what your information?
Keep a list of them. Just follow as far as, you know, I follow them on Facebook. I see if they're on Facebook. I see if they're on Twitter. I see if they've got a YouTube channel. Just keep tabs on them.
Nice.
You know, seeing what their activities are.
That's great.
Good. That's the magic of Facebook. The magic of Facebook, nobody can keep their damn mouth shut. And so everybody's got to talk, you know.
That's really cool. Smart. I like, like I said before, I like the way you're doing it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll read some emails now. You want to help me answer some emails?
You bet. That'd be great.
Okay, cool. I think we got about six or seven here.
Wow.
Corey says, what does Corey say?
Corey says, answer your phone.
This is from Jason, not Corey.
Okay.
Let's see. No, I'm sorry. I'm wrong about that too. Well, I'll play one voicemail here. Sorry guys about the confusion here. Here's a voicemail from somebody. Here we go. And that is supposed to be a voicemail. It's not coming through. Wow, I'm really messing it up this time, aren't I? All right. Enough screwing around. Next email. It's from Justine. Justine says, he was actually asking, I know this fellow Justine. He does some actually really great computer repair books and electrical repair books. And as we were talking, he asked me a question I couldn't answer, so I told him I'd ask it on the show. He says, there we go. One more thing. I have a friend who repairs HP laptops, and he told me that one of the latest HP laptops have a one-of-a-kind BGA IC, integrated circuit. And even with the BGA rework station, he can't remove it out. He broke the IC, and he told me that future laptops will be very difficult to repair. Is this true? And I told him, Justine, I've been out of the business for like 2 years, but I'll ask it on the show, and I should probably post it in the forums. You know anything about this? Because we have some guys that do like reballing and reflowing of these chips.
Sure.
And apparently the new HPs are different.
I haven't seen any personally, so I wouldn't know. We did, you know, there for a while, they had the big recall on those NVIDIA, HP NVIDIA laptop. And so we did a lot of work with those. That really made us look pretty good in the customer's eyes. We had the list of all the laptops, the serial numbers or whatnot, or the model numbers.
Yeah.
And we informed them and said, come on in. If you've got a warranty problem with these, we will help you out. And we really came out looking pretty good on that. We offer a warranty service here where we will talk to the people that you don't want to talk to and get this warranty stuff cleared up and send the machine in if that's what it takes, or do the warranty repair here in the shop and get the parts in. And that's just another service we offer here at the store.
Yeah, I actually did that a couple times too when I had my shop. But then the warranty, the extended warranty even ran out with those things, and people were still bringing them in. What were you replacing, the whole motherboards on them, or doing reflows or what, reballs or what?
Selling them a new one.
Okay.
And doing a data transfer.
Good.
That made us more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not all about money. I shouldn't say that, but it's about service. But if you provide enough services and they're reliable and they're reasonable, they'll come back. And so, you know, these, a lot of these laptops that were sold, I think a lot of them were sold on Black Friday. A lot of them were just defective, and I don't understand why they did that. But I'll tell you this much, the people that had a HP laptop that got screwed over on one of these deals probably didn't buy another HP laptop.
Right.
I think that HP made a mistake and didn't do more of an indefinite recall on these.
It definitely should have been. It definitely should have been. I mean, I know some guys from the show that made a lot of, got a lot of business off of that, the defectiveness of those motherboards. But, and one of them is, does reballing. Like, he actually re-puts new solder balls under the chip and re-solders it. And apparently, if you don't do that, it's not worth fixing. I mean, if you're just going to heat up this old solder, it's going to break again. So it's either buy a new motherboard, buy a new computer, or get it reballed, which not a lot of people that do that. So yeah, it's it was definitely a bumbling error by HP on that one. Let's see. We must have been talking about last show migrating from Windows to Mac. And David writes in, he says, to migrate, I can't remember if it was this show or the Linux show. David says, to migrate from Windows to a Mac, use Windows Migration Utility. I did that for my mom 2 days ago. It worked like a charm. And that's from the 14-year computer guy, Dave. Thanks, Dave. I didn't even know it. There was a Windows Migration Utility. Have you ever used that?
No, we don't really, we really don't do a lot with Macs. I've got a Mac guy that I can call if I need him for something, but by and large, they don't bring him here. The school's got all Macs. They do a one-for-one exchange. It's called a one-for-one exchange. And so you give every kid in the high school a Mac. And so in my honest opinion, you know, it's just mine, I guess, in rural Iowa, let's say, there aren't a lot of Macs. There aren't a lot of businesses that use Macs. Macs just aren't used in rural Iowa. So what I thought they did with these Macs was it was like they gave every kid out there a left-handed scissors.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. If everybody in the town's using one thing.
Yeah.
So
then they had us, the school had all the Chamber of Commerce members who had something technologically advanced that they could sell these kids, their parents, for Macs, and then told them during the assembly that you couldn't buy any of our stuff because it wasn't authorized. So you couldn't even hook a wireless mouse to these Macs because it wasn't authorized by the school. So there were a few people that kind of were burnt by that. But we sold routers and we sold Mac compatible printers, and so we did a little bit of business with it. But it kind of came off poorly. And I remember all these moms in the crowd just were like reaching for those new Mac computers, and they were so mad when they got home they couldn't play Facebook on it. They couldn't play these other games on it. It's like, it wasn't for that. It was for a learning tool for your student.
Are you serious? The moms were up in arms?
Yeah. And they pretty much told the parents, too, that said, you know, if this computer surfs porn on the internet, we will enforce that, and you could possibly end up being a sex offender by looking at porn on our school computer, because it's actually the school's property.
Wow.
So they scared the parents up pretty good. And so hopefully they're just used for what they're meant to be for.
Yeah, that's hardcore. At least they weren't, hopefully anyway, the schools weren't turning on the webcams like they did at that news story a couple years ago. That was over by Philly. I know exactly that area. I used to live close to there. This next one's from Nick, and this is the last one we have, actually. He says, I have a Western Digital external hard drive. I forgot the model number of the device, but the hard drive itself is labeled as WD10TMVV. When it's plugged in, it spins up, and it sounds healthy, and the light blinks normally, but there is no response on the PC end. I've tried on several machines with 3 or 4 different OSs and a few different cables. This happened suddenly the other night. It was working. I unplugged it, replugged it, and it was no longer working. It has a strange setup in that the PCB has a USB connector right on it, and there's no SATA connector, only a 12-pin connector and a 2-pin. I pulled the PCB off to look at it, and I can't find any in my vast pile of hard drives that matches it. Sorry to be so long-winded, but is there any solution that you know of? I have heard that you were the man to ask. This drive has 960 GBs of memories and essentials. Please help me out. And it's from Nick. First of all, I've never heard of a hard drive that has just a USB on it. You must be looking at the circuit board of an external casing, I guess, right? Have you ever heard
that's
of that?
That's one thing. It's a casing, and a lot of times we crack the casing open. Of course, it, you know, sometimes voids the warranty. It depends on what Western Digital thinks. But we get the hard drive from the inside, then put that on the tester and test that way instead, because sometimes the circuit fails between the, you know, with the USB cable and the USB you plug it into, and then the internal drive part sometimes fails. So we've pulled a lot of hard drives out of those external cases and just use them like that, at least just to test them to see if the hard drive had failed or not. And most normally the hard drive doesn't fail. It's the circuitry between the hard drive and the cable.
No, hopefully that's the case. And you're right. Try to pull that, whatever the hard drive is connected to, it's got to be SATA or IDE. I can't imagine that it's not. So pull out the external casing, get to the actual hard drive board itself, pull that off, and then hook it up with SATA if it is, or IDE. My second suggestion is hook it up to a Linux machine. You said you tried a couple different OSs. If you have Nopix, I was using Nopix 5.1 forever, and that worked great for removing data, and that's an old distro, but it worked. There might be better ones I don't know of, but I wouldn't try Windows. I would just go with Linux and see if that'll pull it off. Other than that, if it's not still working, there's always ways to get your data off. You just have to send it away. Go to myharddrivedied.com. Scott will do it. It's going to cost you probably a couple $100 and you'll get all your stuff back. But that's your last resort. Don't try to open it up yourself as far as removing the platters and whatnot.
No, I know. I did get one email. Jim here in town, he stopped by a store this morning, was using our Wi-Fi. And Jim says he didn't realize the word remote was a verb. Gotta love the English language. And we thank Jim for watching the show tonight.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Well, that wraps up the emails, and that's going to wrap up the show for today. Patrick, anything else that you wanted to go over before we end it off, or any comments for the folks?
No, I just, you're never going to go bad, or you're never going to go wrong by telling the truth. And I really hate these, you got some good news and you got some bad news type of things. Just give them the news.
Right.
And they're going to appreciate you more. And they're going to trust you more. And if you can get their trust, you'll get their business and you'll get their friend's business.
That's great advice. A lot of customers, they have that instinct. They know if you're BSing them, even though you think you're doing a good job of it. It's just it's totally worth it to do what you just said. I agree. And that's how you boom your business, man. Good customer service. You build this goodwill. They keep coming back. I mean, people, it's a rare thing these days to have that. So people want that.
Yeah, the Better Business Bureau called a couple weeks ago and wanted me to buy some package that the Better Business Bureau had. And I said, I said, in my town, if I screwed somebody over, it'd be all over town in 10 minutes, be all over Facebook in 15 minutes, and I'd be closed. And
yeah.
So with Facebook and your social networking things right now, you don't need the Better Business Bureau. You've got enough people online who will talk about you, with Yelp or even Facebook, and I always try to get a recommendation from somebody. People really trust other people on the internet as far as your Facebook friends. That's like and if one Facebook friend says they had a bad experience at XYZ restaurant, man, that'll really pile up and you probably find not a whole lot of people defend that restaurant. Or if they do, that really means they're loyal to that restaurant as well.
Right.
So and restaurants or computer repair places, it's all the same. I mean, it's just a word of mouth reference type thing.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing all the good stuff on the social networking this show. If anybody wants to send us an email, send it to mail@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT on a phone, and we will get that, and I'll make sure it plays next time. So we have one call in the queue that I'll play for next time. But anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening, and however you're getting this content, that's it for PodNuts Daily for this week. See you next time. Music for PodNuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.